The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Do you guys enjoy driving in Northern California when it rains?
That's a funny question.
Just Northern California?
Yeah.
Well, bro,
how about just like 17?
Bro, people in California, it's like when it rains, they perceive it to be fire coming out of the sky and lighting shit up, or like lava or something, because that's how they drive.
Or they go balls to the wall on every turn and then they just crash.
They drive so bad when it rains.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Absolutely. It makes me so angry. There was traffic on the way up here.
It's terrible.
There's not supposed to be traffic on the way up here. Why was there traffic on the way up here? I don't know.
Rain.
Because it's fucking wet.
That's it.
And it doesn't even rain that hard. Yeah. It's like pissing down a little bit. It's nothing like hardcore. It's like a little sprinkles, little spritz. Mm.
That's why I hold my mouth up. Like,
well, what,
whoa.
You know what happens after the first rain, though? The first rain, we get all the oil and all the stuff that's on there. That all surfaces, right? That's why they say it's really dangerous after like your first few rains.
Yeah.
Because all the oils and all the slippery fucking shit that's all stuck to the asphalt gets kind of washed up a little bit, right?
I like when the road's
all
slippery.
Excess car jizz.
I don't know if that's true. I just
it is true.
Made that, okay,
it is true.
I just made that shit up.
Yeah, you get little oil. Nah, you get sounded, oil slicks.
Sound like you know what you're talking about.
You know what's funny?
Somewhat.
I don't know if it's true, but because I said it's true after he said it, it's so believable now. You know what I mean?
You just got the Sal bump.
Yeah. Like I just like I you made you. It pretty believable.
No, yeah.
I made it really believable.
It's official now.
Now it's believable.
And it's official.
I gave you my. All right. Yeah.
Adam.
Yeah. Yo.
You're a dime piece today, bro.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Whoa, what?
Wow.
Looks good. He's got the guns blazing.
Irvin.
He's got the calves poking out.
I just want to point out that you say stuff like that because I match, bro.
Huh?
Because I match.
No, I mean, you're
we covered
you're,
this.
You're an attractive young man, but I would rather have sex with Justin.
I believe that.
Let me explain. I don't understand that.
Because
please.
Adam's delicate. Explain. I feel like he wouldn't be able to take the full wrath. You know what I mean?
Oh, so
like if I went at
you're
him,
saying you have to go a little gentle,
but
like
I feel
porn
like
style.
I feel like Justin could take a beating.
Lay the hammer.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's a compliment, but I'm going to go ahead and take it like it's one.
Yeah, well, you're going to take it that you
he
can't
will
take,
take it. You just got confirmation.
Yeah,
the fact that you would not pick me to shove your penis in, I'm pretty sure that's a compliment somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere.
Who said anything about being the receiver?
You don't feel rejected?
I think he's looking.
Yeah, I just
at
don't
his...
feel like being your catcher.
Yeah. I told you, like
he's
I said,
for his
like I said, you'd be the wrong person.
Yeah, no,
but
yeah.
But you look great.
Yeah,
you look great right now.
Listen,
me, I'm.
Can't we just say like, hey, you look handsome, and then we don't have all these like innuendos afterwards?
It's all right, bro.
Listen, no,
when you're as manly as we are,
total.
You have to do that.
Yeah,
otherwise everybody's just like,
that's
you guys
true.
Are too fucking manly.
I know. If we came in here and we just like went with our full testosterone, I think we'd all
you
explode.
Can't, you can't do it.
No,
shit would catch fire.
We gotta gay it up a little bit.
Can I read you guys my favorite my favorite inbox pickup line that I got just recently?
You did?
Yeah. This
man
is
or woman?
It's. I guess that was a fair question. Actually,
it is a fun.
No, totally.
I chuckled at first, but I thought, wait a second, that's a fair question. It's a young girl, and she says to me, she inboxed me, DMs me. I won't put her name out there.
Of age.
Yeah, you said young girl.
Don't just throw.
I don't know.
Out.
Children do not be sending.
I don't know how young she is. It says, how much do I have to deadlift for you to be my date for senior prom?
She sent that to me too.
Oh yeah,
she sent it to me too. Not for me to go to the prom.
Wow, you guys are not special.
No, listen to how fucked up this is. So you got one asking for you to take her to prom.
Yeah.
She sent one to me saying, tell Adam how much do I need to deadlift to go to fucking prom.
Did she really?
Listen, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, okay. She's playing you guys.
I can take
you
to prom too.
I haven't checked my DM yet, so maybe there's one for me.
No, because I'm married. That's why, I'm sure. I'm sure that's why.
I'm sure that's why too. Yeah.
She's God. Like, hey, you know Adam, can you give, you know, give him a good word for
me? Dude, how fun would it be to go to a prom?
I, you know what? I, my response back to
dude,
her.
Dude, you know how arrested we'd get if we went to a prom?
I know. But
dude,
you know what, though? I think
I just want to see him dance with all those high schoolers.
No.
That would be classic.
No, we would get arrested because we would get, we would like party hard. Like we get hammered.
Oh,
like,
dude.
Ah! And everybody would be like, what the fuck are these adult guys doing?
I actually went as far as to ask where she was at because I said, laugh out loud. I said, that has to be the most awesome way I've ever been invited to a prom. Is like that. So I was like, where do you live? You know, because I contemplated it. I'm like, you know, if she was local, I might actually go do that. I'm that guy.
I'd make a great episode.
Adam goes to prom.
Adam goes
right?
To
wouldn't
prom.
That be fun?
Did you go to your prom?
Can you can you do that? Yeah, of course I did. Can you do that?
Did you
can
wear you a cummerbund?
I don't know how I dressed.
He puts the cum in cummerbund.
You know, I was really
that's it.
I was out there. I was just like this radio show. Like I was always against the grain, you know. So even the way I dressed and things, I did everything opposite.
So you wore your pants on your head.
Yeah, weird shit. I can't remember. I can't even remember what I did. Oh, you know what? I do remember now that you said that. I wore silver pants. They're like sparkly,
like made out of sterling silver.
No,
yeah, $10,000 pants.
No,
jazzy
bro, I was a
pants.
Broke kid. They're like all they're shiny. They're shimmery, shiny.
Aluminum foil pants.
Were they kind like of. They look like aluminum foil?
The MC Hammer kind.
And I had suspenders and a tie to match it.
Did you really?
What? Yeah, really. I'll look for a picture.
Did you have sex on your prom?
No, I was a virgin through high school.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I barely lost my virginity just recently.
Jesus.
Ooh, yeah.
Just recently.
It's so weird that the wizard has the least of experience, but he wizarded it out real quick.
He throws it
you know
all
what it reminds
there.
Me a lot of, Justin?
Yeah, what?
Luke Skywalker. Remember how you got like the Force at a late age, became the fucking world champion? That was you, bro.
Okay.
You didn't have sex till you were like 32. Yeah. Boom.
He was living with his aunt and uncle forever.
Boom. The Force is strong in this one. Justin, did you go to your prom?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah. How I got it? Asked when I was a freshman, actually, by a senior, and I was too chicken shit.
What?
I didn't go.
What was his name?
Steve. Stevie Ann? No. I didn't go. I kind of wish I don't know. I was
intimidated?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Like, I just didn't know. I was like, I don't really want to go.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to go.
I got an intimidation story like
but,
that.
Well, wait, don't switch gears, because I kind of like
but
this
I did
topic.
Go
right?
I to, yeah, I did go to my junior-senior prom, and it was, like, stupid, because it was just with my girlfriend, so.
So that's why. That's
I wasn't even trying.
If you're listening right now, he said it was stupid to go with you.
I want to know. That's what I want to know. I want to know, who did you go with all four? Did you go to the dances every year?
No.
You didn't.
I didn't like.
I get that. You were a nerd. I get that. Makes sense.
No, I wasn't. Listen, in school, I wasn't a nerd. Listen, if you're listening right now, you went to school with me, you can comment on the Mind Pump Instagram page if I was a nerd or not. Crickets. I don't think I was, but maybe I was. You know what's funny? What if somebody's like, oh, yeah, he was a total nerd, but I didn't think I was. Yeah. That would be fucked up, right? Yeah. I wasn't. I hung out with everybody. I was just whatever. I didn't care about going to dances, but I did go to my wife's senior prom.
Wait, let's back up.
Because we were dating.
Let's back up for a second.
Go ahead.
Really smart, reads the encyclopedia a lot, didn't play sports, didn't go to any dances. No, you probably weren't a nerd. Keep going.
No.
Keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. So
keep going.
Listen, bro, I'm telling you, that doesn't make you a nerd.
Bro. Like offset.
You're right. No, I was just adding everything up for the listeners in case they didn't know all those other random facts.
That's
about
what
you.
Made you a, let me explain something. That's what made you a nerd in like the 80s. I was in high school in the 90s.
Oh, 90s.
That's when it started changing a
little
bit.
Now this is making sense.
That's why I still wear flannels.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue on.
So, no, I went to the prom with my wife. We were dating at the time. She was my girlfriend.
Wow.
And I went to hers because she was a senior. I was a junior. I like the older ones.
Ooh.
And that's it. I didn't go to mine because I could give a shit. Actually, it was pretty unmemorable my senior year because I just didn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
I wonder if Doug went to a senior prom. Did they have proms back then when you were? When you were going to-
yeah, I don't know. I'm losing my memory.
Did you go? Did you go to-
it was like Back to the Future.
Yeah, what about you?
Was that?
What about you, Doug?
Was that at a barn?
No, they actually had proms. Actually, you know, I was
under the sea ball.
I wasn't actually allowed to go to any dances when I grew up.
You weren't allowed to go to dances?
You grew up in that strict of a home?
Like devil music?
I grew up in a very strict home.
Wow.
You know what's funny? When Doug was a kid, Moses was the DJ at his prom.
Stupid. No, I want to hear more about this about Doug.
Yeah.
Let's back up this, because I grew up in a very conservative, strict home, but I definitely was allowed to go to dances.
Yeah, no. Dances were out of the question.
So were you a virgin like me all through high school?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, really? See, you see how the virgins are on that side of the room?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are better looking, though.
Huh?
We are better looking, the two of us. Yeah. As a team, for sure.
Yeah. If you guys combine, it is. If this was a competition, you guys might win that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Wow. I did not
know
that.
I bring your score down.
No dances for you.
At least you'd bang me, apparently.
Yeah.
I have a fun fact for you. I went with the
a fun fact.
Yeah, I did. For my dances, my
this better be fun and it better be a fact.
I went with the big girl. Ooh. I went with the fat girl.
I hope
girl.
She's not listening.
I know. Well, yeah. she probably knows. She actually is nowadays.
I went with the fat girl.
Yeah, I did. I went with the fat girl.
But you like them like that a little bit.
No, it was nothing like that whatsoever.
Yeah, but
I
do. You like a little bit of heaviness, don't you?
What do you mean by that?
Huh?
Could you be a little more specific with that?
Like a little bit more. You know,
it was like a friend thing. Let's just get past that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm gonna save you, Adam.
I was a jock, and I was
hefty. Hefty. Six,
I think. Remember, although, like Sal, maybe I was the same way too. Maybe I wasn't the cool kid. I just thought I was a cool kid. And my buddies, everyone had dates and everything going on, and. One of the girls she was also a cheerleader, and she all her cheerleader friends were going with all my buddies and stuff like that. And I could
have you guys have a big like orgy?
No.
Oh fuck! Wow. God damn it! I'm sorry.
Was this high school, bro?
I'm sorry,
dude. Where are you? Where would you?
I don't know.
Oh, my god!
I got to stop. All right,
who are you?
I'm gonna start blocking your comments.
Yeah, dude. Seriously,
terrible tonight.
Instagram. We're no longer gonna defriend you. Yeah. Get out of here.
You have to sign up under a new account.
Yeah.
Talk on the mic.
I'm sorry.
No, I just that was the type of kid that I was too. You know, like I was not. I ended up dating the next year after that. I ended up dating the super hot chick in school for sure. She was awesome. But before that, like to me, I would rather,
dude. And that's where the wizard, you know, came to be. Right? You took the girl that was.
Is this the wizard origin story?
Dude, no. I'm trying to explain something here. What happened?
You know, okay? he's on point with you,
dude. Because you know, you showed that, and all the girls noticed that, bro. And they love that shit, and they eat it up. I highly recommend doing that if you're a guy
dating
and
the hottest girl,
dude. No, before that,
no.
Just
no,
showing okay. how you know sensitive and good guy you are, and comfortable you are with doing that, dude. Yeah, props,
bro. If you're not if you're not 6'3" and good looking, you're just going to be the friend zoned.
So let's back up for a second here, Sal. We're talking about my sophomore year, which I was 5'6" my sophomore year. Both my front teeth were crooked and turned in. I didn't have a car. I walked to school. I was broke as fuck.
Adorable.
Yeah. So
wait a minute. You were 5'6" when you were a sophomore?
Yeah, I was 5'3" when I was a freshman. I was a point guard.
Are you shitting me?
No. I didn't sprout. I was a late
bloomer. 5'3"?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I was 5'3".
When did you get tall?
Not till I got my last spurt was out of high school in college. My junior year, I sprouted up almost to 6 foot. And then my junior year into my senior year, I hit 6 foot. And then I got to college.
Oh,
I hit
he really
6'3".
Was a late bloomer.
I was. And my sophomore year.
That's crazy.
Like I said, I was not. I talk about this all the time with kids. And so this is kind of a cool. I don't know if this is where this fucking episode is going or not, but.
Let's go.
Yeah, right. Being, I was teased, made fun of. Goofy looking, poor, all the things you don't want to be if you're a kid in high school, you know? So, but that didn't stop me from being the popular kid in school. It didn't stop me either from dating the hottest chick in school. And it's not like I had that goal in mind. I was just a real person and I was comfortable with myself and none of that stuff affect me. And like Justin said, you know, when it was my sophomore year, I chose to go with that girl because of that, because I felt like I was a good dude and she wanted to be with all her friends and then we could all still be together. And I was comfortable with that. It was okay. I didn't need to be with some random hot chick or like that. I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. So I'd rather bring a girl that is friends with all my friends. And even if it means that I'm going with the least best looking or the heaviest girl or whatever the fuck it was, it doesn't matter to me, you know, like at that point. And Justin's right, because the following year after that was the year that I ended up getting with my girlfriend, who I ended up being with for 4 years after mm-hmm. that, who was my high school sweetheart mm-hmm. and was the hottest chick in the school for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah. So it does, you know, and I think you have to be genuine about it though, because it's not like I went out with like, you
have to smell that you do that purposefully and you're calculated. Come on,
yeah, that guy's a douche too. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, absolutely. But I was not this 6'3" buff fucking kid in high school, bro. I was the wind blew and I fucking blew away, bro. I was a skinny. rail, crooked ass teeth.
Now, did you guys ever have? Did you guys ever have a situation when you were younger where just girls would come on to you, but you were intimidated by them, so you didn't do anything? Because I got a
bunch.
Because I got a story, dude. I was in, I might have been eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I think I was in eighth grade or going into freshman years, like that summer. There were these two girls that I was friends with, and they were both hot. And we used to do the three-way talking, you know, when you get on the phone back in the day. For you kids who don't know what that is.
It's like a three-way kiss.
Right, no. Back then, we had landlines, and you could call two people at the same time, and everybody's on the phone. So we'd talk on the phone, and these girls would talk, like, dirty. And I look back, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I couldn't believe some of the shit they were saying. They invited me down to, they wanted me to meet them at the school. This was the summer, it was summertime. They wanted me to meet them at the school because they both wanted to make out with me.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And you turned it away.
Fuck yeah, I did. I was so scared. You know what I'm saying? When you're that age, you're like, I ain't going over there. Of course, you look back and you're like, idiot.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
If I had a DeLorean.
If I only had a DeLorean.
I'd go back.
Great Scott. Well, you know what I want to. I think I want to talk about this. I've had somebody ask me.
I don't know if I want to go down that road, Sal.
You like that?
Yeah.
We're going to take a left right here. No, I think this is good. This is good, too, because we have Doug in here, too, and he could probably put his
two cents. Oh, you want to the old thing?
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple old guys that came up to me, and they're asking me, like, hey, older. You know, you guys, Mind Pump guys.
Seasoned.
Talk a lot about, you know, all this stuff that you guys do now. Well, what about, like, you know, a podcast episode that's geared towards the elderly, you know, like Doug and stuff is like,
the elderly.
What should somebody,
you better watch yourself, Sonny.
what should somebody do and all aspects?
What are
some important things that we know, even though we're not, you know, we're not old like Doug, but we're older. And we know the importance of taking care of your body in the later years. What are some tips maybe we can give them?
Centrum Silver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think definitely you want to, if you do squats, you want to put your walker to the side. You don't want to do squats with your walker in front of you because it limits your range.
Handrails on the toilet.
Here's the thing. As you age, the principles of proper exercise and nutrition are that much more important than they were when you were younger.
Right.
Okay. So, and before I get into that, let me explain something about exercise. If you're a fit 20-year-old, you're not that far separated from your peers. Okay. A fit 20-year-old versus a regular 20-year-old, there's a difference, but it's not a huge difference.
Yeah.
Now you get a fit 50-year-old versus a regular 50-year-old, and it's light years apart. You go up to 60, 70, 80. And now they're not even the same.
There's a lot of decisions that were made in those years leading up to that.
Yeah, it's the difference between I'm totally independent and I could do whatever I want to I live in a nursing home and people take care of me.
Right.
That's how drastic it gets. So that chasm, that gap between you and your peers grows if you maintain a good level of health and fitness. And I'm starting to see it now. Look, I'm only 36 years old. And I can see it with people that I grew up with who don't eat right and, you know, don't really exercise and, you know, they might smoke cigarettes here and there. When we were in our 20s, I mean, yeah, I was definitely more fit than them, but it wasn't that big of a difference. Now they're like, fuck, I look at them and they look a good 10, 15 years older than me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they can't get boners. They look like shit. They got fucking pot bellies. And I'm totally serious. Like, these guys will tell me this stuff. Like, I can't have it.
Oh, that's what the drug companies, they love, you know, that demographic.
Yeah, and that's, I'm still young. Like, 36 is still young. So, that gap between you and your peers becomes so that importance of exercise and fitness and nutrition is even greater when you're older, and then doing them right is that much greater because when you're young, you get away with a lot of shit.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
you rebound from all kinds of like damage you put to your body.
Oh, bro, I would be. I mean, from the food you can eat to poor exercise form to lack of warming up.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give anybody who's exercising who's, you know, over 45.
Weathered.
And that's not old, but over 45, I think, is when you start to really see a big difference, is really be smart. Be smarter. And luckily, most people in that age group are smarter about their training. Now, in terms of exercise, I'll say this right now. Nothing, no form of exercise comes close to the age-defying effects of resistance training. Nothing. Cardio, yoga. I don't give a shit what it is. You know, calisthenics, all those things. You could put them all together, combine them. None of them will come close to the age reversing effects of traditional proper resistance training, because none of those affect the hormone levels like weight training does. Mm-hmm. None of them affect that you want a cellular level, and none of them make your body pro tissue anabolic.
Well, let's talk about that, because I mean, that's like the biggest thing that deteriorates, right? Is like, I mean, your hormone levels go down significantly, and then, you know, especially if you're not lifting weights, you're extracting all these things that one of the main, you know, proponents on keeping those levels at a normal rate, you know, is lifting heavy weights. So if you're not doing that, I mean, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I'll tell you something.
And eating, you know, properly.
If you take a male who eats right and lifts weights, and that's the focus of his workout and does everything properly, and you test his testosterone level, and he's 65 years old, he will have higher testosterone than the average 35-year-old American male.
Oh yeah.
Okay. This is very, very true. Your body will stay in that, will maintain those youthful levels of hormones for a very long time. Now, of course, age does affect hormones, but activity and diet do as well. And it becomes this kind of negative feedback loop where mm-hmm. I don't exercise, I'm inactive, hormone levels drop, I feel shitty, I stop exercise, I do less activity, they go even lower.
Right.
But, I mean, I got a client who's, you know, I got one guy who's 52. Who got his testosterone levels? Check this out. So, you know, depending on the lab you go to, the range of testosterone is anywhere between, I believe,
0 and 1200.
Well, no, that's 200. Well, zero is too low, but for normal is 200 to 800.
No, 400.
400?
Yeah.
So 400, 400 to 1200. And some I've seen go 200 to 800. So that's kind of the range. This guy's 52 years old. Okay. Lifts weights, exercises, eats right. He's been doing it for a long time. Got his testosterone levels checked. He was almost at 900.
That's crazy.
So, depending on the laboratory, the lab that you go to, he might even be accused of being on anabolic steroids, but he's natural, right? And this is a natural 52-year-old man. Then I have another client who's turning 70 in a few months. So he's 69 right now. Got his testosterone level checked, almost 700, right?
Well, this is something too. While you're talking about this, I always, any of my clients that are 45 plus. That's the first thing I recommend they do.
Get the hormones checked.
Yeah, it's good, because if you are somebody who is, you know, maybe you're just now getting started and you fucked up your shit up for 20 years, you know, there's a good chance your testosterone levels can be in the dump. And then,
well, I would say have them, because I've had clients like that before, and I've had 50% success with this in my personal experience, where they'll come to me and then they'll tell me that they got their testosterone levels checked and it measured, you know, at 100 or 120 or 200. And what I'll tell them to do is train with me and follow my advice for 6 months and then get tested again. And half the people I've done that, I've actually done this to almost probably about a dozen people, but half the time I can get their testosterone levels
naturally to go back
naturally up. Well within, because if you look at their lifestyle, like they sleep shitty, they eat crappy, they're not active, they're at their desk all day long. A couple of them drank a lot of alcohol, which is known to lower testosterone.
Right.
And so when we reversed all that, they went back up. Some of them, it went up, but not significantly. And a lot of them, of the ones that didn't go up, a lot of them just weren't doing everything. You know what I mean? That they were still kind of eating shitty and stuff like that. So I wonder what that effect has on people. But that's a great thing to do, is monitor, look at those hormone levels.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great indicator too. I mean, it answers a lot of questions for us trainers. Like, let's say we are designing a program for you and you're going along and you're kind of scratching your head like, man, this guy should be building some muscle by now or this or that. It could be that, you know, we have a long road ahead of us. It goes back to, like we talked about metabolic damage with somebody. It could take 6 months to a year to fix whatever damage you've done. Same thing could go for a male or a female, whatever. It doesn't matter, that is older, in the 45 years old plus, that have done damage to their body for a long time as far as poor eating, maybe not exercising enough, and then their hormone levels start to decline. So I always recommend that for sure, first and foremost.
Well, sometimes taking those hormones externally gives them that boost that they may need, because a lot of these people feel really bad. They feel horrible. Well, they have no motivation, no energy.
And that's what comes with that, right? Yeah. Low testosterone. They say some of the effects is the depression, the no energy levels, you know, have a hard time building muscle, burning fat, all these things. I mean, testosterone plays such a huge role in you know, our success.
But there's also insulin gets regulated with resistance training like no other form of exercise.
Yeah.
Growth hormone levels become more youthful.
Mm-hmm.
It even checks, you know, estrogen and other hormones in women. So I would say, number one, first and foremost, if you're in that age group, that resistance training should be the kind of the cornerstone of your routine. I don't care if you work out 2 days a week or 6 days a week. Resistance training should be that should be where you focus your energy, where you should focus your program design, where you should look at your performance rather than, you know, because I know a lot of runners and, you know, hardcore cardio people. Once they get to 50 and 60 and they're not lifting weights, they don't look too good and they don't feel too good.
Oh, weather. It's that oxidative stress. Yeah. We've talked about that somewhat. You know, these people that are doing that heavy amounts of cardiovascular, it really does like weather your body and your skin and just the overall look of you, like looks like it's aged quite mm-hmm. a bit, almost like a smoker almost, you know, it looks pretty similar.
They've done studies on ultra runners, people who run very, very long distances and do it for a long period of time, you know, over years and years and years. And they have heart damage. They'll examine some of their hearts, you know, and they've got damage like somebody who's, you know, 15 years, 20 years older than them. Well, and it's just extreme. It's just
exactly.
Extreme.
We've talked about this before. Anything extreme is bad, even healthy stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you would think running and exercising healthy. Well, doing it to an extreme level is not ideal. And ultra marathon runners, I mean, shit, mm-hmm. sometimes they run for 24 hours consistently, which is just ridiculous. How about this? So mm-hmm. one of the guys that was asking this, because I've been asked multiple times for this topic, is actually somebody who I know has been weight training. I trained him back in his 30s and he's now in his 50s. You know, and he's been consistent, trains really hard. I'm trying to do the math right there.
Yeah.
30s into his 50s. Yeah, yeah. I trained when I was 20 years old.
Okay. You're 40 now?
He was one of my first clients. No. In his 20s and now he's in his 50s. Doesn't mean it necessarily has to be 30 years.
Okay.
he was in his 30s. He could have been about 37 years old and now he's like in his 50s.
So you haven't seen him this whole time?
No, he lives down south. But I talk to him on a regular basis. He's really strong. He's actually got a good physique. I posted him a long time ago on Instagram.
So he's been doing it this whole time.
Yeah. I know he had surgery on his back a long time ago. So he's actually stayed away from squats for a really long time. And I always keep trying to tell him to get back into it. Just, you know, figure out why he can't get down in the squat position, correctly stretch, figure out his imbalances to do that. Because we all know that if you keep yourself in that neutral spine alignment, yeah. when you come down and do a proper squat, you should be able to. Mm-hmm. You know,
I have something too I recognize with like clients that I've had that are, you know, 50, 60, 70 years. They get into a routine and like they do that to death. Like
the
that's the
exact
their
same
thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And whether it's racquetball or whether it's you know, doing like the stair climber or, you know, that is their answer. And it has done damage. Like by the time they come to me, like blown ACLs, you know, mm-hmm. blown, like their elbow isn't the same, their shoulder isn't the same, you know, all that same stressful movement, repetitive movement, I want to say, okay? Just the repetitiveness of it and putting the same exact stress on the body and the joints constantly all the time, you're going to end up, you know, immobile in some sense of it. And you're going to have to do a lot of rehabilitative work to get back to just normal movement. And just be wary of that and be open to, you know, experiencing new things and new ways of doing things. And I think that as an overall, even with like mental stimulation, you know, like so all these brain games and all these things have come about to, you know, prevent dementia and all these kinds of things. It's just you want to challenge your body.
Did you know that they just
and your brain.
They've confirmed it now that people who exercise regularly, especially resistance train, mm-hmm. have more gray matter. Hmm. It actually maintains gray matter in your brain as you age. So it's good for your brain big time as well. But as far as you know, what you were saying, that's absolutely correct because you know people who've been doing it for a long time, that repetitive motion can cause issues. But the other thing that I noticed too is people in that age category between, I'd say, 45 to, you know, maybe 50-something or 60, they tend to have more stress in their life, okay?
Yeah.
They have a job. They probably have kids. They don't have, you know, the luxury of being able to sleep in whenever they want. And, you know, they have to worry about bills. Maybe they just got divorced. So that stress accumulates in the body. And it's that much more important at that point than to pay attention to your workouts and to make sure you listen to your body with your workouts and to not go in there thinking you're going to train with a super high intensity all the time. If you had a stressful day and you didn't sleep very good the night before and you're going to the gym, then I recommend you have an easy workout.
Mm-hmm.
It'll benefit you far more than a super hard, intense one will. I see people in their 40s overtrain like crazy.
Well, I think that's a great one to touch on, because the guy we're talking about right now, or that I'm referring to, this whole topic is about, when we trained back in the days, we used to hit it hard and train hard. And I know he's maintained that mentality of crushing. You know, you remember, this is my early 20s when I had told you before, I don't think I was that great of a trainer. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was training him now, I would definitely scale back a lot of his tendency, especially since he is definitely a very successful businessman. He's got a lot of things on his plate. He's got a family. So guy's got a high stress level already as it is. You know, it's probably hard for him to shut it down when it comes to the gym and actually pull way back, you know, and do a workout that in his mind he probably thinks is really easy and is not very productive. But in fact, it's probably very productive and ideal for him. The other thing that, and maybe you guys can piggyback off of this, is I've now, whenever I get a client that's older and they come to me and they're like, hey, Adam, you know, this hurts or that's bothering me, this or that. 9 times out of 10 now, it's related to nutrition, with inflammatory foods and stuff like that. And I guess I really didn't start thinking that way at first. Before, I used to like start thinking imbalances and muscle related and stretching and always going that direction, where now I'll normally say, well, tell me what you've eaten the last few days. You know, what have you been consuming, and listen to what they have to eat. And that's just because I've noticed it in my own body. Now I have the same issues. I all of a sudden my elbows hurt or my knees kind of are achy. And, you know, I first thing I think of is like, okay, what did I eat the last few days? Because, you know, if you're eating a lot of processed foods or foods high in sugar, I mean, or any sort of alcohol, if you're a big wine drinker or things like that, you know, people don't realize that stuff, that those are very high inflammatory foods. And then if you're also weight training pretty hard, which is also inflammatory, the combination of the two of those, it ends up being pretty fucking achy.
In my personal experience, I have found that people in the age group that we're talking about respond better to a relatively, okay, that's an important word, that's bold now, relatively lower carbohydrate diet. Because they don't have the super activity levels of, say, a young 20-something-year-old you know, athlete that I may be training. And so if you bring their carbs down a little bit, their sugars, their grains a little bit, I've most of the time seen clients have reductions in inflammation. Most of the time. I've seen people come to me and say, wow, you know, eating this way, I don't have as much inflammation as when I was eating more pastas and breads and stuff like that. So that's just some anecdotal feedback. You know, from my experience, most of my clients are in the age group we're talking about. I very rarely train anybody under the age of 45.
I wanted to talk about this because I feel like this is probably mostly in your wheelhouse, the most out of us. Although, I mean, I'm sure Justin and I have also trained probably thousands by now too.
Most of my clients now, they're all, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
That's my demographic as well.
Well, they have expendable income to hire trainers too. Yeah. So let's not forget, if you're listening and you're in that age group, you can probably afford to hire a trainer. And you should. Yeah. That would make a huge difference.
Well, and they all have pain issues, right, that I'm combating and trying to apply, you know, rehabilitation techniques to. And also just getting circulation and movement and all these things reestablished. And, you know, just doing little things goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting stronger is such a great combatant to you know, a lot of these arthritises and all these, you know, things that get in the way of that. So
I the advice I've given people, clients that let's say I'll stop working with, or you know, I don't see as much anymore, I'll tell them, go to the gym and just pick three to four resistance training exercises. That's it. Just go there, do three or four of them. Make sure that the important exercises, the ones that matter, like a squat and overhead press and a barbell row and, you know, a lunge or, you know, a core exercise, and just do those and do them really good. And then next time you go, pick three or four other really important exercises. That way they're in there for 30, 40 minutes. It's effective. They're not wasting their time worrying about all these different machines and cable exercises and also the bullshit. That's not going to do a whole lot for them. And they get a lot of bang for the buck, especially if they're really busy people. And the results that they've gotten as a result of that are huge. You know, and you think about it, if they're going into three, four good exercises, doing four sets each, and you know, that's a good 35 to 45 minute workout. They do it right.
Well, let's keep it real. Why don't you? It's Christmas is around the corner. Why don't you buy them maps for Christmas? There you go.
Yeah.
Little recap though, because I think Justin said something I thought was extremely important. He didn't go in that much detail to it, but he said something about you know, the that generation, right, is stuck in their ways of doing the repetitive stuff. It, periodizing your workouts, we cannot stress that enough of changing that up, which is the way MAPS was designed. That's why I threw that shameless plug back there, because I mean, that's why we designed that, because it doesn't matter if you're 75 years old and just starting in the gym or you're a seasoned veteran, you still should design your program that way. How you build off of that, okay, well, we can talk about that later, but somebody who's in the gym, if that's not your foundation, no matter how old you are, then you're missing it. You're missing the boat big time, because you should be periodizing the workouts
and changing it. And you know what? Now that I think about it, Justin, you are so 100% accurate. I'm thinking about all the older people in the gym who I see every time I go to work out. And I swear to God, I could write out the workouts right now, because I see the same exact shit every single time.
Even if it is like they're lifting weights, which
it's the same machine.
It's whatever they're still good at, and they remember, you know. And it's tough, because I immediately think of my dad, because like I mentioned, you know, the stair climber, like he's got like, you think I got calves, dude? That guy has ridiculous calves, but he's just been doing this Stairmaster for year after year. He always, in the morning, he goes, you know, to the spa fitness place. He does his cardio thing. He does a little bit of stretching, goes in the sauna, and he thinks that that's like his workout. I'm like, Dad, dude, no. And then he eats all this processed food. So anyway, it's one thing, you know.
But he's got big calves.
I'm highlighting. He's got big calves.
We
got
to write that routine down.
He's a big dude. But, you know, it's and it's finally now, it's like he's kind of reaching out, okay, well, how should I do it? And about, it's like, oh, my God, where do I begin? But, you know, like it they need to. Which is also a hard thing to have to say, hey, you need to have an open mind and this is what you want to do. You know, like they don't, a lot of times it's hard to break through that.
Oh, it's so important to collect the check first before you go into this topic, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just sign them up for 3 months and then you break down the news.
Hey, I got some bad news for you. You're going to have to do a lot of different shit. Yeah. Sorry to break it.
It's going to have to change.
That's the trainer tip out of this episode, right? Yeah. Collect the money first, then you can explain to them.
Then be honest. What about the warm up?
There you go.
Warm up is very important.
So important,
especially as you start to get a little bit older.
Yeah,
I need to fucking warm up. And before, when I was younger, I didn't. What the hell was a warm up? Yeah. I could literally get under the bar with my max.
I think we all can attest to that one. Yep. So because in the last 4 years for me, that's been. In the back of my head, I chuckle because I'm like, wow. This is like the first signs of like I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I have to do this.
Foam rolling would be a big thing. Yeah, I think.
Forever.
They should learn that, right? Foam rolling.
Oh yeah.
For anybody who's listening, who's wanting to work out or whatever is that age group, learn how to foam roll. It's actually pretty easy to learn.
Dynamic flexibility. Those two things. Dynamic stretching.
Take you 10-15 minutes before your workout.
Yeah. Get the muscle nice and elastic. You know. So you got to get blood flow. You got to get your core temperature up a bit. Because if you don't, you're likely to tear something. I mean, it's cold tissue is a lot more likely to get torn.
So. And not only that, because tear is number one. The number two, and it's the same reason why I cannot squat unless I seriously warm up for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're not going to get the same range of motion. Oh, there's no way.
My knees are like ache to death for the first 3 to 4 sets if I don't. I mean, it literally feels like someone's sticking knives in my knees if I did not go and foam roll and do my dynamic flexibility before I start my squats. Mm-hmm. And what happened, and that why I want to point that out is because I know if I feel that at 34 years old, somebody who's 45 or 55 years old who gets under a squat rack, decides he's going to start squatting, then all of a sudden feels his knees just like their knives in it or his low back, I'm sure he stops and goes, okay, I can't do squats. They're not for me. I have bad knees. No, it's not your back. It's not your knees. You're not going to take the time to actually stretch all that shit out and warm it up before you go.
Even just correct imbalances. And that's such an excellent point. I'll tell you something. Yeah. Your goal should be, if you can't squat and you can't deadlift and you can't press overhead because of aches and pains in your joints. And I'm not talking, by the way, we're not talking about an acute injury. There's a difference. If you're injured, then yes, don't do it.
Right.
But if it just aches and the joints hurt and things are stiff and you're like, I can't do it, your goal should be being able to do those things without pain. Yeah. So do whatever you need to do to get to the point to where you can do full squats. For example, I'm going to use you as an example, Adam, because you said your knees hurt while you squat. Now, I don't know this to be the case, but let's just say that you have some knee damage. Let's just say maybe you have some chondromalacia. Your patella's kind of frayed underneath the kneecap. You're still doing the right thing because you're warming up, you're getting on the bar, then it doesn't hurt. And maintaining that full range of motion, that strength and that full range of motion is allowing your muscles to stay strong. Because if you stop, if you're like, fuck it, my knees hurt, I have chondromalacia, I have all these, you know, this degenerative issues, then what happens? You start to atrophy, muscles start to weaken, and that knee problem becomes worse.
Way worse.
It becomes worse. So if you're one of those people that can't do those exercises because it hurts, then do what you need to do to be able to do those exercises properly. Your goal should be, actually, this. Anytime I train someone, I don't care who they are, anytime I train someone, my goal is to be able to get them to do a proper muscle imbalance-free barbell squat. Now, do I get there always? Not always. I have an 86-year-old client who will probably never do a barbell squat with me, but we can do standing squats now, and I've worked her to that point. So your goal should always be to get to that point, and if you can get there, which you likely will be able to, then you could do the most you know, badass exercises that exist, the ones that really make the biggest impact on everything from hormones to muscle to fat loss to everything, longevity, the whole thing. So, and I think there's even tests now that they show, like, if you can't get up off the ground or if you can't squat, they can like predict whether or not you're going to live or die in the next 15 years. Yeah. Way better than any other test.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen that too.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. We were made to squat, dude. Our bodies are made to squat. You think humans, when they took a shit in freaking, when we were, you know, cavemen, you think we sat on a rock and shit on ourselves?
No.
We squatted and took a dump.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and
we were made for it.
And even that, like, I always find that funny when someone tells me they can't squat. I'm like, dude, I know at least once or twice a day you fucking sit down on a toilet. You know, I know you sit down on a toilet, you get there somehow.
And you got to get up.
And you got to get up.
Just, unless you have one of those toilets that, like, give up, that, like, rises up for you.
We got a lot of work ahead of us. Oh, that's the case.
If you're shitting like that,
well,
don't bad for you.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Make sure you guys leave us a 5-star rating. We love everybody that's been doing that. You guys have been helping us up stay in the top 50, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, keep it up,
man. Give us the MP Posse.
That's right, MPP.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.